What are we here for? What are we here for? I mean, it's Wednesday night, and I know when you're at any our churches, our fellowshipping churches, and you look out on a Wednesday night, the group you see is the core of that church. It's what it is. That's the ones that if you have a work day, you have any special thing going on, that's the ones that's going to be there on a Wednesday night. So I ask you, what are we here for? Well, and the proper answer would be, we're here to worship, right? We're here to worship the Lord. And I hope and I pray that's what we're here for. And then, as I was trying to get, and this has been the whole point to the message, the first message that the Lord laid on my heart to bring in these next few days was, I have a few titles for it. The one I have written down here is Sin Changes Your Relationship with God. Look, we're here to worship the Lord. That's what we want to do. And then the songs we sing. I went through some of the songs that we sing at 12 Rhine and preached through those. Well, not preached through the songs, but looked at the songs and made sure they're scriptural and brought some messages on them. The first song we sang is, We Have Met to Worship. Have we? Right. Are we here to worship the Lord? Or are we just here because, well, we're having a special meeting, and if I don't come, then the pastor is going to call me and ask me where I was. So then I'm going to have to make up an answer. So it's easier just to go. You know, what are we here for? We sang the song, We've Met to Worship. And then we sang Cleanse Me, page 174. And as we were singing that, there was a phrase in this that kind of caught my eye a little bit. And I'm not finding it now. But, send a revival. Where does revival come from? Brother Larry and I checked my pockets. I didn't have revival in my pockets anywhere. Did you have one? No, we didn't bring one. I didn't even see a store to buy one on the way here. You know, it doesn't come with us. The revival, did you know we don't have to have special services to have a revival? We don't. Did you know you don't even have to be in church services to have a revival? You can have it in your own home. Now, I'm not saying stay home from church, but I'm saying a revival in your heart. You can, revival is worshiping the Lord. It's getting close to Him, but where does all this start? Starts by getting rid of that sin that we're holding on to. That sin hinders, and I'm not saying I know anything, but I know me. I know me. And I know that I've been praying for this meeting. I've been praying for Brother Larry and for myself and for the church as you're preparing for this, and that the Lord would give us the messages, but also that He would give us hearing ears to hear, and that He would open up my heart so that I can grow, so that I can be more of what He wants me to be. But then as I prayed that, the Lord began to show me some things that He wants me to do different. Some things that He's taught me, some things in His Word. He's opened some things up to me. And then, y'all remember the last song we sang? Page number 214. All the way the Savior leads me. Think about it. What? I truly believe that when a song leader picks out songs, they don't just open up the book and that one and this one and this one. They pray. Amen. And I believe it's proof right here, because right here is my outline. This is my thought in the songs that we sang tonight. So, what are we here for? We're here to worship. We want a revival in our own hearts, in our lives. We want that. But are we going to follow the way He leads? Are we going to? And so what we want to do, I want to start out with some understanding of some things. Look, if you will, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. We probably all know this verse of Scripture, right? 1 John 3 and verse 4. First John 3 verse 4 says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law." When we think about sin, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I think about sin, I think about adultery. I think about murder. I think about stealing. I think about, you know, drug dealing, whatever, a bunch of different bad sins, if you will. But we don't always think about the thought that we let linger in our mind when we're supposed to be focusing when we're reading His Word. We don't think about not reading His Word. We don't think about, well, you know what? I know I really need to study, but my favorite TV show is coming on. You know? And I had to be on the phone, so after my favorite TV show goes off. I heard a message last weekend, and we're going to turn to the theme verse for the conference that I was in last weekend, and it is, the theme was, "Let God Arise." And as I began to think about here and this message, I began to think about that theme. That's what we need tonight. We need to let God arise in our hearts. We need to let God have the preeminence in our lives. And one of the preachers brought out that God should never be next. Should never be next. He should never take second place. He should always be first place in our lives. We don't think about that as sin. Not always. The Bible also tells us to know what to know the right thing to do and to not do it. What is that? That's sin. So to know what we ought to do and not do it, it's sin. Now I also know something else. So we know what sin is. But we also know in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Romans 8 verse 35 through 39. I love these verses through here because these give me confidence and great hope. Because he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You think about that. I mean, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We're here to worship the Lord. And yet, I'm a sinner, but He gives me the ability. He gives me the power. He gives me the knowledge and know-how and the strength to turn away those sins, to turn from those things. And He gives me confidence here that even though I'm a sinner, even though I fail Him, that I can come to Him and I can ask His forgiveness. I can repent and confess my sins to Him and He will forgive me of my sins. Amen. He will do that. And that brings me back to that joy. David prayed in Psalms 51, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Look, we're here to worship, but understand the first part of worshiping, the first part of having a revival in our lives is getting our lives where they ought to be. Is getting rid of all those things. This world, the more we look at this world, the more that we see the things in this world, the more wicked this world becomes. The more we see it. Yeah. It's, you know, it's not just the world that's getting more wicked. It's getting into our churches. Amen. It's getting into our homes. It's getting into our lives. It's here. And if we're not careful, if we don't stay where we need to be, If we don't stay with the Word of God, I mean, our churches are getting, we talked about it at dinner tonight, our churches are getting smaller and smaller because people are leaving. Where are they going? They're going to churches that don't really, they don't teach doctrine.
Amen.
They don't teach the truth. They don't stand by it. They teach those things that are easy to be heard. Look, and I started, one of the titles I thought about teaching, thought about titling this tonight was the an uncomfortable subject. That was going to be the title, but I thought, I don't know. That's kind of uncomfortable title. You know, but sin is not something we want to talk about. And sin is almost something anymore that's taboo. You can't talk about it. But it's real. And it hinders our worship. Understand that if you are here today and you are saved, your sin cannot stop that. You're saved. But that does not give you the right to sin.
Amen.
It does not. As a matter of fact, your salvation ought to hinder your sinning. It ought to, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He died for me. It amazes me. If you ever turn over to, I think it's Psalms 22, and read through that chapter of what Christ went through on the cross, and then decide you want to go ahead and sin anyway, something is wrong.
Amen.
Look, salvation is not a reason to sin, but it's a reason not to, because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. We want to have a revival. We want to have worship, and we want to have the type of worship. Do you remember the year Clarissa was saved? I do. Do you remember some other people that were saved that same year? Do you remember we were standing, not up here, at the other location, sitting here in these pews praying for Clarissa, and who was saved? Yeah, we weren't even praying for her. Mandy was saved. Just, do you remember the preacher didn't even get a preach? And he did not complain. Nobody did. I'll tell you what, if the Lord wants to interrupt these services because somebody is saved, I will say amen. That is fine. That was a wonderful conference, wasn't it? Could the Lord do that again? He could, couldn't He? He could. Do we pray for Him to do that again? You know, I caught myself the other day praying, and I asked the Lord to save some lost sinner in the services. And then the thought was, why just one? Why just one? We have quite a few lost souls. Yeah, save them all.
Amen.
Can He not do it? He can. But so many times in our lives, I limit the Lord. He can do so much more. You think about what He says He can do. He can do much more than I could ever imagine. I could ever think or imagine that He could do. He could do much more. And I'm telling you, I cannot explain how much of a vivid imagination I have. And the Bible tells me that He can do exceedingly, abundantly more.
Amen.
I got a vivid imagination. And that just blows my mind. But what we need to do first and foremost is to follow Him. Put our lives, and that's scary. We pray a lot of times when we eat, Lord, use this food for the nourishment of my body, of our bodies, and then use our bodies for Your service. I've heard the men of this church pray that prayer. Use our bodies for Your service as You see fit. Do you understand what you're praying? Have you ever stopped and thought about what you're asking God for? When I began to think about that, I didn't know if I wanted to pray that or not. Lord, do you use me as you want to? I have no say-so. What was the last song we sang? As my Savior leads, I will follow. We sing these songs. We've met to worship. Y'all sang it out. We've met to worship. We have. We sing the song, cleanse me. Lord, cleanse me. Make me new. Clean me up. David went to the Lord and asked a hard question. Search me. If there be any wicked way in me. Can you pray that prayer? There's a little word there that little word if. David prayed an if there be any wicked way in me. I'm thinking I don't have to have that little word if. But what was David's heart? You think about David. He committed sin with Bathsheba and tried to hide it. Killed Uriah. Nathan came to him and told him this story about a little lamb that was stolen and killed, and David said, he's going to die. And Nathan said, David, thou art the man. What did David do? He fell down and confessed his sin to the Lord and told the Lord, I've sinned against you. And you look, turn over to 2, I think it's 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Yeah, 2 Samuel chapter 12. David verse 13, David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. David was the king. David could have chopped his head off. But David said, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child that is born of thee shall surely die. There was consequences for David's sin. There's consequences for our sin, but in the world today, in our thoughts, and this is where I get bouncing back and forth on some of this, because we think sometimes that when we get forgiveness, we go to the Lord, we ask the Lord to forgive me, that there'll be no consequences. But there are. There are consequences to our sins. But when we get those right with the Lord, and we get that joy back, we get that peace back from the Lord, how do we get those things back? How do we get that peace back? How do we get that joy back from the Lord? Look, we've never left His love. You think about it, you parents that are here, even you children that are here. You don't have any children, but you have parents. I'm going to say something. Did you know my mom and dad have made me mad before? But did you know I still loved them? Did you know I have children? I have had to punish my children. I've had to get on to them before. When they were little, I even had to spank them. I know it's hard to believe my little angels. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, we know. But that didn't change my love for them at all. Not at all. Why do we punish our children? Because of our love for them.
Amen.
If we didn't love them, we wouldn't punish them. The world's got this all mixed up. Look, the Lord, Paul said, don't run from the chastising hand of the Lord. Draw into it. I don't like it when the Lord gets on to me I don't like it when I go through chastisement. But you know what? I sure am thankful I do. Because he's showing his love towards me. He's showing his care towards me. We want to worship the Lord here tonight. We want him to lead in these services. We want the Holy Spirit to move in the services tonight. We want lost souls to be saved here tonight.
Amen.
That's what we want. That's what we desire. That's what we pray for. Just as in Psalm 68, turn over to Psalms chapter 68 and verse 1. This verse says here, Psalm 68 verse 1 says, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish in the presence of God."
Amen.
You look at that. Let God arise. Let him fight those enemies. Let him fight those thoughts in our minds. Let him control our desires. Let him control our eyes and our ears and our mouths. Let him. You notice this verse does not say, "Make God arise." But it says, "Let God arise." Stop hindering him in your life. In, what is it, 1 Thessalonians says they're quenched not the Spirit. What does that mean? To quench, to put out, to hinder the Holy Spirit's working. Stop hindering God's working in our lives. Those things that we hold on to. Let go. We want the Lord to move in our life. We want to follow Him. We want Him to lead and guide. Let him fight those enemies. Verse 3 says, "But let the righteous be glad."
Amen.
Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Look, we need to stop looking at this world. And we need to start looking at Christ. I've preached through the things that we believe at our church. And got down to the very end of the end times, preaching through the end times there, and it got to be a great big thing. And so I told the church that I'm not completely ready to finish this, so we're going to kind of put a hold on that, and I'm going to study this some more, and we're going to come back to this. But what I began to see is what our focus ought to be on. And that's what I'm finishing up this series on. What should our focus be? Should our focus be on the way that the tribulation period is going to lay out? That's not the next event.
Right.
It's not. And I found all through Scripture, there's something that we're told to be looking for. That's the return of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What are we doing here tonight? Do you know what tonight is? Tonight is a precursor for when we are in heaven, worshiping every night, every day. One of these days, we're going to be there with our Heavenly Father and see Him face to face. And what are we going to be doing? In verse 4, it says, "Sing unto God, sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Jah, and rejoice before Him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land."
Amen.
The God that we serve, He can take care of us. He can provide for us. He can shelter us. He can put us in a place. Psalms 23 says, "In the presence of mine enemies, thou preparest a table in the presence of mine enemies." He provides for us with our enemies at the door. But He's the one that holds them back. Not us. Look, in this world, and where my mind goes in all of this is the sin in our lives, in my life, that I need to get rid of, that I need to put away and just let Him mold me and make me what He wants me to be. But also to stop focusing on this world. Stop focusing on our leaders. It's coming up an election year again. Are you concerned about who's going to be our next president? I hope nobody is. We ought to do our part. We ought to vote. But you know what we do? We trust the Lord.
Amen.
Because who's in control? God is. He's never not been in control. He's in control. We don't know who our next president's going to be. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, I kind of doubt we're going to be here. I really do. The way this world is going, I don't see how we can last much longer. But God knows all of that, though. He does. Are we going to follow Him? Are we going to let Him cleanse us up? You know, that's all part of these meetings. Part of these is just letting the Lord work, because see, we get out of our regular rut that we get into through the week. We stop doing the things we normally do and start doing something completely different. Which, we're listening to messages. We're reading our own Bibles. We're talking about the messages we heard. We're fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ. We're here. And it changes us, doesn't it? It changes us. You think about Adam. When God first created this world, Adam named all the animals. And that's what they were named. That amazes me. And then in Genesis chapter 2, Adam said something there that just blows my mind. I'm going to turn over there and read it because I'm going to quote it wrong. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 24, Adam says, when God brought Eve, brought the woman to him, Adam said in verse 23, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh."
Amen.
How did Adam know what a father and a mother was? He didn't have one. They didn't have any kids. He wasn't even a father. But you look at the relationship that Adam had with God before the fall. What happened to that relationship? Sin hindered it. And you look in chapter 3, after they sinned, what was it that Adam and Eve did? Adam and the woman. They hid themselves. And they done the work themselves to sew their own aprons together. That work that would never stop. They would continually have to be repairing it, fixing it. And then God came walking through the garden in the cool of the day. And He called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? And Adam said, "We were naked and we hid ourselves." How did you know? Sin hindered a relationship. Adam never hid from God before. But look, sin hinders our relationship with God. God still loves us. But it hinders that fellowship. It breaks that fellowship, just like with a husband and a wife. When a husband and a wife are not in communion, not in agreement, when they're in an argument or when they've been lied to one another, that breaks that fellowship until that gets right. We need to get right with the Lord. We want to have a meeting, have a conference that is God-honoring. We want the Lord to change us. We want the Lord to mold and make us what He wants us to be. We want to grow in Him. Then we have to let Him take over our hearts, our minds. We have to let Him do that. Will you? Will you submit your way to Him? Will you give Him that? Look in James chapter 4, and this would be the, I do believe, the last scripture we'll read. James chapter 4. He tells us here, James 4 verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Look, this word submit in the world today is a bad word. I mean, it's been taken and it's been used, it's been abused, but it's not a bad word. Submit yourselves therefore to God. What does that mean? Let Him have control of you. That's what it means. And it's to every one of us. Who's James writing to? James says here in verse 1, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And he's writing to those that are saved, is who he's writing to. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. Look, you want to resist those temptations? You want to resist those sins that come upon us? I had to learn this the hard way. I can't do it. I can't. Every time I try, I fail. But every time I turn and I run to Him, I overcome because of Him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, but I cannot resist him without submitting myself to the Lord. Amen. He says in verse 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. I love that. I love that. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. How do we do that? By being in His Word. By submersing ourselves with Him. His Word being such a part of our lives. You know, He told the Jews, the Israelites, that they're supposed to talk about this when they rise up, talk about it when they lay down, talk about it when they're walking, talk about it all the time. Does that mean that's the only conversation they can have? That's not what He's saying. But what He's saying, it ought to be such a part of their life that it comes out in every aspect of everything they do. And that's what we are to be. That's submitting. That's drawing nigh to Him. Verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Amen. Tell you what, we need Him. We need Him tonight to move in our lives. I need Him to move in my life. I need Him to mold and make me what He wants me to be. I need Him to cleanse me. I need Him to lead me so that I can follow Him in the way that He would have me to go. Have you met to worship? Is that what you're here for? If you've met here to worship, then submit to Him and let Him mold and make you what He wants you to be. Amen. If you're here today and you're lost, He's the only answer. You can't work your way. You can't make yourself up good enough. You can't pray your way into heaven. It's just giving up and trusting Him. Amen. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will save you. Thank you.